Hi, this is Nancy Herald, and welcome to my show, High Road to Humanity. In every episode, I tell you powerful true stories filled with great wisdom that you can use in your own life as you strive for a higher road to travel. My featured guests will have their own unique stories to tell that enlighten your mind and your soul. So kick back, relax, and learn the secret to success when you take the high road. First touch, strong connection, it lays deep
in your soul. Hi, this is Nancy Earle, and welcome to High Road to Humanity. And I have a wonderful gentleman visiting me from Scotland. Neil Douglas Klotz is here, and welcome to High Road to Humanity, Neil.
Thank you, Nancy. Thanks for inviting me. Greetings from Scotland.
Everybody. I'm so excited you're here. Cool. And you say it's chilly there.
It's very chilly. It's the chilliest it's almost the chilliest I've known since I've been here 20 years or more.
Oh my goodness. Well, you guys, today we're going to be talking about the revelations of the Aramaic Jesus. And this is the book that he has written. And we're going to be talking about the language. Let me just sit back and relax a minute. And let me give you, first of all, Neil's bio, and then I'm going to read you a little bit about what we're going to be talking about. So Neil Douglas Klotz is an international known scholar in the fields of connecting religious studies and psychology, as well as a poet and a musician. He is the past chair of the mysticism group of the American Academy of Religion and active in various international and conferences dedicated to peace and spirituality. Now, his best-selling works include Prayers of the Cosmos and The Hidden Gospel, which I think I own The Hidden Gospel, actually. I was like, oh, wow, I think I have this. So you guys, what we're going to be talking about today is the challenges we face are not, in essence, different from those of our ancestors, he says. Our relationships, our love, our knowledge, our work, and our purpose still claim our main attention, and that's true. Yet, he says, the implications of these challenges for the survival of humanity and the planet seem more acute. We seem to know more, yet our consciousness has evolved in such a way that makes it difficult to see what the purpose of life really is. And how do we live more fully in the moment, solving the problems before us? And, you know, he's going to talk about Jesus's teachings and how he spoke. And I guess I want to know, how did you get into this?
That's always the question.
Yeah.
How does one get into something so obscure?
Well, yeah, from what I read, your parents were both Christians and they were involved in holistic health and organic gardening and receiving wisdom within themselves. So what drove you to this? This really interesting work, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, I have this sort of unusual family background, although my parents were nominally Christian. That was, as I sometimes call it, a cover story that we had because my father was one of the early chiropractors in Illinois, Nancy. Uh-huh. And so, you know, he had to work there, and it was a small town, and you can imagine chiropractic was still considered, well, like
taboo.
Well, taboo, and, you know, it's like way beyond the pale. And now it's somewhat more mainstream, although depends on who you go to. Mm-hmm. So we were raised with, you know, chiropractic, holistic health, listen to your body. You know, we're gonna plant all our own vegetables because we took over a large vacant plot next door and, you know, had like a small farm actually feeding ourselves and whoever else was around. Mm-hmm. And then my parents were very much into Edgar Cayce, who your listeners may know about. So because Cayce channeled a lot of holistic health remedies that are still, you know, one can still buy them today, and one can still read Cayce's channelings on this. So that was our holy trinity. That was, you know, Rachel Carson, Edgar Cayce, and chiropractic. As
I know, the three C's. You said I love that.
The three C's. Yeah, I know it's become a bit of a cliche after all these podcasts I've done, but you know, I was, because we were sent to quite conservative Christian schools. Again, this was part of how we presented in our community. Mm-hmm. I had to learn a large part of the Bible by heart, by memory, which is what Christian schools did in those days. And then on Sunday, you have to stand up and, recite verbatim.
Recite the verse, yes, yes.
Yeah, recite from Luther's Small Catechism verbatim, exactly what Luther said this whole thing meant and all of that. And it was like, I don't know, you know. I always felt that there was more there.
Right.
And again, from my family background was all about, you know, feeling what you feel, what does your body feel, what does your body want. You know, my parents were really more about what we would call spirituality rather than religion.
Right.
So they read us Bible stories, and I got some feeling from that, and, you know, from the way we were raised, and, you know, doing a lot of digging around in the dirt in planting things. But, you know, it didn't mesh with what I was learning from standard Christian theology. So even as a child, I had this feeling there's something there, but I'm not getting it. You know, I'm not getting what it is.
Right. Well, right in the beginning of the book, in the introduction, you say, and I love, well, John says in John 8:32, he says, yeah, you shall know the truth and the truth will make you free. And that's what, yeah, I really, you know, when I read that, it really hits home for today, because we're starting, a lot of people are waking up and they're starting to see the truth and they're starting to realize that this has all been a ruse. And
yes,
that really hit home with me when you said that in the very beginning of the book, because, well, you didn't say it, John said it, but he was telling you, but it's interesting. It's like, it brings forth these times we're in right now.
Yes, there's very much of that, because, you know, whom do you trust and what
right.
news do you believe and, you
right.
know, on and on and on. And
right.
And then even this passage from John, you shall know the truth and the truth will make you free.
Right.
This gets sort of hijacked. And the truth is whatever theology, you know, your local religious official is telling you.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Jesus uses the word for truth, the Aramaic word that he must have used because he didn't have a choice of other words to use, is shrada, which really means the truth that's found deep within the human heart. It's that which the human heart is already inbuilt with. We already have this sense of being able to turn toward the right direction,
right,
and know where we are and know who's telling us the truth and know who isn't. But it's all been overlayered with centuries of culture and enculturation. And that wasn't what Jesus was talking about.
Right. I like how you bring this up. Well, it's not a good thing, but I read in your book where you talk about our individuality has been developed over the 500 or 600 years, and we've been separated from nature. And that is so true. You know, that's something I always talk about on the show, that we have to get back into nature and get outside. We've gotten to where we've disconnected from nature and disconnected from God.
Yeah, very, very much so. Both of those, you see. That's sort of the epidemic of human times.
Yeah.
You know, where we were 10,000, 20,000 years ago, again, you know, there's a bit of this in the book too, because that's really the background, is that human consciousness was much more embedded in our surroundings. Yeah. And at the same time, we had very little sense of individuality. That is, being separated from one another or from a plant or a tree. Why else do we have all these world stories about devas, you know, and nature spirits, and
right.
you know
right.
all of this in the world culture is all there, that the nature had these living beings, they were living beings or they were connected to living beings, and so we had this relationship with the unseen world, with angels, with demons, with all of this. So this was
right.
this was a not exactly a normal thing, but this was all very much accepted thing in earlier human consciousness.
Right.
Now the development, I don't want to go too much into this, but you know, but it's a major feature of the book. Human consciousness develops such that we have this individual sense of self now. And many of us cannot do without it, because to it we can attribute our individual human freedom, human rights, justice, all these things, treating each other, because if there's no each other, there's no like treating each other fairly, if you see what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of, so all this develops over thousands and thousands of years very gradually. And it has its good sides. And then it has its very, very negative sides, which we see around us today.
Right.
Where people are cut off from the unseen. They're cut off from God, from the divine, and they're cut off from nature. So it's like there's a both and here.
Well, can I say, I'm going to just interrupt you here a second. And this is what I feel about this. I'm an intuitive and I'm connected with God. And I really feel like this is what I feel intuitively. I think we had to go to this far on the spectrum to come back to God.
Agreed. Totally agree.
Because now here we are, and here I am today, connected with God, so connected with nature, balanced, happy, joyful, watching the craziness go on around me, being aware, knowing the truth, but only because I'm connected with God and nature.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And this is, you know, really, you don't want to cut the podcast short, but I mean, this is really the essence of Jesus's whole message was that, you know, we need to be able to turn our individual hearts, which we have now developed as individual hearts, towards that source. And we, as I said, everybody has the potential. You don't have to do it my way or anybody's way. You know, we all have that potential to do it. Right. And, you know, we can have people help us. I mean, people like you are helping people. Others are helping people. I'm helping people in my way. You know, it's like, well, that's what it's all about now. It's not about institutions or religions or organizations.
Right.
It's everybody's got to do it for themselves.
Well, let's get back to talk about Jesus' spoken word. Now, he did. Obviously, he knew Greek and Latin.
Well, maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. Okay.
But so let's just use the Lord's Prayer as an example.
Absolutely.
Talk about this. Tell us what he really, I mean, because I say the Lord's Prayer every day when I get up in the morning. And so I want to hear your take on what maybe the meaning was for Jesus, and maybe we're missing some of the meaning here. So if you could help us with that.
Yeah, thanks, Nancy. Well, this is really where I started out with my work. You know, I had gone as far away from Christianity as I could when I got to university. I became an investigative reporter, trying to find out, you know, the secrets that government was hiding from us. This was in my 20s, you understand.
Wow.
Now I'm 70-something. you know, and that was always my tendency. I wanted to find out what's underneath, what's underneath, what's underneath, what's underneath. Yeah. And I was a pretty good investigative reporter. And then I discovered that people didn't make decisions based on facts. This was even in the 70s. I can tell you, much less now, even when you give them the facts, they don't want to hear it.
Were you in the States when you were doing this?
Yeah, I was in the States. I was working for an alternative news service, and there were still alternative news services, print news services in those days. Right. Now they've all on the internet. So, and you know, so I had a burnout. Telling you this, the rest of the story, how I got to what I'm doing, but. Right. You know, I had my own burnout, my spiritual burnout, and I started to hunt around, you know, well, how do I make decisions? You know, how do I decide what's true for me? You know, back to that theme. And that's where I got involved with spiritual things. And I actually ended up with the Sufis, some of the Western Sufis. And one of their teachers who had died just before I came said he wanted to learn to pray the Lord's Prayer in Aramaic. And this was Samuel Lewis, who started the Dances of Universal Peace, if you've ever heard of those. They're around, these circle dances where people are chanting.
Okay.
But he had never done this. He had never learned to chant the Lord's Prayer in Aramaic. So I decided I want to find out what that's about, and I did my research. But originally, my research was really experiential. I started to chant the words. I didn't actually know much about what they meant, except I knew they were supposed to mean, you know, our Father which art in heaven and on like that. But right. I felt, okay, there has to be, the Sufis think sound is a real thing. Sacred sound connects us to the unseen. You know, you can connect to the ancestors that way. There's got to be something here if Sam thought it was something. Right. So I began to chant it. I was on a retreat. This was in late 1981, I think. So that's a little over 40 years ago. And I did my initial retreat practice, setting up the boundaries as you do with a retreat. You do like psychic protection, basically that sort of stuff. And then I, you know, after about day two or three, I took this sheet I had with approximate words, you know, the approximate Aramaic that a Jewish rabbi had given me, and I began to just chant them on one note. And all of a sudden, my body began making movements that I had never felt or experienced before.
Will you do it for us? Will you say it for us?
Absolutely. You know, and then I began to hear melodies, and I can sing you some of those melodies too.
Oh, yes. Yes.
So yes. that was the beginning of all this work over really 40 years ago. And then only later did I do all the scholarly work, which you've mentioned in some of this bio stuff.
Right, right. I want to hear the Lord's. I want you to say the Lord's Prayer, and I want to learn it because I feel like I agree with you wholeheartedly. And you guys, our audio isn't as good as it should be. I'm in kind of not my regular place, and he's in Scotland. So you're going to have to bear with us. Our visual is not good, but our audio is very good. So I just...
Oh. Okay. Hopefully the recording will be good.
Yeah, the recording's good. It's the visual that's not as good. So if you're joining us on Binge TV today, that's the situation. He is far away and I'm not in my usual place where I can be plugged in directly to the internet. So there's a little bit of delay.
The weather could be better here in Scotland, yes. I can tell you. Yeah. Anyway, so yes, the Aramaic prayer.
I'm ready.
I'll say the words first.
Okay.
And if anyone is interested in learning this, it is a wonderful prayer. It's a protection prayer. It's a healing prayer.
Yes.
There are so many layers to it, and I'll go into it just a little bit after I've said the words for you, and then we can chant some later.
Okay.
You know, the thing is, with the Aramaic, it's a lot of open sounds. It's a lot of dense sounds. It's a mantric language, if you know what that is, your listeners. I think they will. In other terms, the Semitic languages, of which Aramaic is one, they have these sounds that connect us to the unseen. And this is a bunch of them are in these languages, this ancient Hebrew, ancient Aramaic, like this. So listen for just a bit and just breathe and feel it. And that's what I did originally.
Okay.
Aun dibashamaya. Nitqa dishmoh tete mal kutah nekwe sibianach aikana dibashimaya of ba'ara hablan lachama de soon kolan yamana washbuklan chabain wachtahin aikanad of hanan spochen lhaiyavin wila tachlan linisuna ila patsan min bisha metu le lache mal kutah Wahila Watesh Buchta Lalam Almin Amin Lalam Almin Amin. Okay. So if you or your listeners want to learn that, Nancy, that you can just go to my website. You know, you click on buttons. It's all there free. You can hear me saying it line for line.
What's your website?
Can repeat after me. And then in a month, I guarantee in a month, you'll have learned it. Tens of thousands of people have learned the Aramaic prayer that way.
Right.
through recordings. And it's a tool. It's a doorway.
We can
just say it's a doorway.
Right.
However you translate it. The Aramaic words are a doorway to the unseen. I mean, all the books that I've done are just an excuse for people to have their own experience.
Right.
Just an excuse for people to have their own experience because there's so many layers, hundreds of years of Christian theology layered on top of this stuff. And it's not so much that most of the normal translations are absolutely wrong. They're just, you know, it's like this is the real meaning and this is what you get strained out. Through Christian theology, except in some cases there are outright mistranslations and misinterpretations, and
right. The
Aramaic prayer has at least one of those. So,
Neil, what is your website?
It is ABW. That's ABWOON.org. Avun.org. That's the first word of the prayer. ABWOON. It's an HTTPS site. You know, if your browser balks at that. It shouldn't. That's the most secure. And there's a whole bunch of sound files there. You can listen to all this stuff. You know, as I say, in a month, 5 minutes a day, you can learn the Aramaic prayer. 5-year-olds have done it.
I've
had parents bring me their children and say, you know, listen, she wanted to learn the Aramaic prayer. You know, I learned it. It's like easy. No problem.
I love it. You know, I want to talk about light and sound.
Uh-huh.
As this whole thing with the prayer, and I am so into energy. I'm so into, we are energetic beings.
Yeah.
talk about the sound, and we've really gotten away from that. You know, I just had a harpist on a couple days ago, and, you know, I started to cry because of the sound. And because it's the sound of the prayer, it's the sound of the words that you say them and the way you say them that changes our vibration. Talk about that.
Well, I mean, yeah, and there's two things, as I mentioned in the book. You know, we don't know exactly, no one knows exactly how Jesus said his Aramaic. I have made my best, you know, how would we say, research into it using all scholarly resources and bringing, you know, basically what it ended up getting me a PhD to the whole project. And so I think I'm, you know, the way I pronounce it is 99% probably close to the way he said it. There are Aramaic Christians today. Some of them say it slightly differently. Some of them say it more like I'm saying it. But the main thing is that sound is vibration. We have to realize this. Breath is, you could say, breathing comes into sound and becomes audible. So our breathing, what Jesus calls our ruha, that which connects us to everything and to all the time and to the divine, that comes into our sound. That comes in, and then that comes into our words. So we want to make sure that our breath and our heart and our intention are aligned with our words. This is not new stuff, but it's all over Jesus in Aramaic. So it's the sound of the words because they connect us to his being, his living being. And this is the reason why people chant things, because you connect to the being who originally said them, or you connect through them is better, because Jesus didn't say, stop with me. He said, go through me. You know, I'm a door. You know, right. And I, not me individually, but he says, connect your small self to the only self, and that's a door for you. That will be the door to the, to God, to the divine. So it's the words that connect us. We piggyback on Yeshua's experience, Yeshua being Jesus's name in Aramaic, right. And we bring our own heart intention into it. And that means our need. That means our love. That means, you know, all that stuff that opens the doorway, our gratitude. Gratitude, love, and of course, you know, deep need will open a door, as I'm sure many of your viewers and listeners will have attested to. When I'm in real deep trouble and I say a prayer, however, I just say a prayer in my own words, that's going to open some doorway because my heart is fully into it.
I have to tell you something that really shocked me. So I had a young lady on my show about a week ago, and she had a near-death experience, and she was flatlined for 20 minutes. And while she was flatlined, she went up to the light, she went through the tunnel, and she said, I watched prayers coming up. They look like text messages. I knew what they said. I could see them. I want people to know that their prayers are heard by God.
Fabulous.
I thought that was so what you say, and so it goes back to the same thing. The prayers are heard. Your words are heard, whether they're good or bad.
Yeah, because they resonate in the what we could call the unseen world.
Right.
And to the extent that our hearts are involved, because the heart is what's between our individual self and what Jesus calls ruha or soul. You know, we've got a self and a soul. And this is Jesus' terminology. I'm just translating it into English. We've got an individual self. You know, here we are here and now, you know, looking around and the world looks like, you know, whatever it looks like. And then we've got our soul, which is Ruha, which is connected from before into the unseen. It's connected after. It's always on. It's always available. It's open 24/7. So, you know, it's awake while we're asleep and all that stuff. You know, it can come into our dream life if we allow it. And so Jesus is saying, okay, let your heart turn towards your soul. And now it's, you know, if you look around you, a lot of it is what we're witnessing in our culture, just people who, you know, they're looking to their individual self to try to fulfill that which is never going to be able to fulfill. Actually,
right.
It's like looking for love in all the wrong places. You're looking for everything, you know.
All the wrong places. Yeah.
I mean, it's not that we're not supposed to meet our own individual human needs. We're here, we've got bodies, you know, we've got a gift, we've got to use it properly, we've got to learn what we need to learn. But, you know, the main difficulty with work like yours, with work like mine, is convincing people that, you know, consciousness and all is not all emanated from the, it's not like the brain producing chemicals, you know, and all of a sudden there's consciousness. That's, you know, no, this is a nonsense. People have, you know, this is, you know, you're going down to, you know, you're going down the wrong pathway there. So, you know, everybody's got to connect. This is what Jesus was talking about. Connect your individual self, you know, to your soul, which is always on, which is your connection to the divine. It's pretty simple.
Right. How has this changed you since you started to speak in the language that you
Well, you know, I started to think, Nancy, at a certain point in Aramaic, and I still do. I'll wake up in the middle of the night or in the morning, and something will come to me in Aramaic, and I think, well, why is that coming to me now? And think, ah, okay. I had a question. I had a problem. So now, you know, the answer is coming, but it's coming sort of from Yeshua. so there, and I've known other people that's started to happen too. I mean, because I've translated many things over the 30 years I've been doing this. I've got chants to many things. People use the chants, they use the body prayers that I have in my books or on my website, and great. I mean, that's wonderful. It's another resource for people. You know,
right.
Especially if they were raised Christian and have, they're sort of, you get sort of Jesus phobic, you see. So, and I was Jesus phobic, and so I got rid of that Jesus phobia, and now I can study from all sorts of traditions, because I'm not weighted down with a whole bunch of unnecessary guilt.
What was the most surprising thing that you were able to translate that may be completely different than what we thought it was?
Where shall I start? Anyway, we have to choose a few.
Okay.
Well, it's, you know, let's stick with Jesus' prayer, which is normally called the Lord's Prayer. It's just that I don't usually call it the Lord's Prayer. I have nothing against you doing it if you want to do it. But there's no real good word that's translated, strictly speaking, as Lord in Aramaic. And Jesus didn't call that. And so wherever you see Lord in the Bible, it's sort of like an interpretation, really, based on later theology, either Jewish or Christian. And it's sort of medieval. It's due to the medieval eras in which the scriptures were translated into other languages, because you had lords and ladies and class system, and we still do in some places.
Right.
Like here in Britain, I'll tell you. If we take toward the end of the prayer, there's this very, very problematic line where there is an outright mistranslation. It's usually translated, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil. So as a child, I'm thinking, why would God lead us into temptation? Why would that happen? And the answer is, it's a mistranslation. The prayer never said that. And even the Pope has admitted this now, that is the current Pope, if you want to dig into the Italian news. But the prayer says, Vela tachalan linisuna. Vela tachalan linisuna. So this is the so-called lead us not into temptation. But actually it says, let us not enter temptation. So lead us not, let us not enter. That's a big difference.
Yes.
And then the word for temptation is nisiuna, which is really means forgetfulness. That means we get lost in the superficial appearances of things, of life. This is a word that's all over the Semitic languages. We forget where we came from and where we're going. We forget that we came from the divine and we're returning to the divine. Don't forget. He says, don't let us enter that forgetfulness. And then it says, Ela patzan minbisha. And how's that? It's the deliver us from evil. Well, there's a question of evil. Aramaic phrases evil as bisha, ela patzan min bisha. Bisha means that which is not ripe. It's not in its right time, not in its right place. It's an unripe piece of fruit. Either let it ripen, leave it longer, or maybe it's overly ripe and it needs to go to the compost. So Jesus uses these sorts of metaphors throughout, you could say, the Gospels, and says, so don't let me be unripe, that is not in the moment. Don't let me be lost in the superficial, but also let me be also fully present in the moment so I can do what needs to be done in my life right now. It's sort of a balance.
That's it. Don't look ahead. Don't look behind. That's with the fruit.
Not right. That's it. Be the ripe fruit. This is what he says elsewhere in the Gospels. A ripe tree bears ripe fruit. Be like the ripe tree. And this was translated as a good tree bears good fruit and an evil tree bears evil fruit. Well, how is the tree morally evil? Well, it's not. It's just, it's a bad translation. And it got strained out through a whole bunch of strange people's ideas, particularly original sin, which Jesus never had in mind and could never have had in mind because it wasn't a ancient Semitic outlook of life.
Right. I want to jump to Beatitudes in Matthew.
Go for it. I love the Beatitudes.
Yes. These are my notes here. I picked out a few things, but... Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Way to return to health through awareness, breathing, and heart feeling. Gosh, that really hit home with me because it's truth. I mean, I talk about that. It's, past and present. We need to be in the present. We need to not think about the past. We need to and just be. And that's what I'm learning right now. I'll just tell you that. And the audience, I tell the audience, and it's not easy to live in the present moment. But what I'm learning is, and I want you to talk about this, is that when I just stay present and I go with the flow, the universe has got my back and takes me where I need to go because God only wants the best for us. That's what I feel.
Yeah. It's just a matter of, you connect and then breathe in the moment. That's it. And this is what the Beatitudes say. I mean, the first Beatitude, this is in Matthew we're talking about, since that's the ones you chose.
Right.
This one that's usually translated, blessed are the poor in spirit, really a much, a more accurate translation are blessed or ripe are those, because again, the word for blessed is really, again, the same word for ripe in the moment. Blessedly in the moment are those who rest in their breath, who realize their breath, that my breath is my first possession in life. That is, this breath comes into my form and I breathe my first breath, having emerged from my mother. And then it's the last thing to leave. But that breath continues from before until after. There is a non-physical breath also. So as Jesus says, blessedly ripe are those who rest in their breath. And then he says to them, the whole vibrating cosmos, the cosmos that's full of vibration and sound and light opens around them and within them. And that's, that's the blessed are the poor in spirit. To them belongs the kingdom of heaven, as it's usually translated.
Right. But the truth is, if you just go with it and breathe and be centered and be connected to God, then you will always be connected, whether you're here or after.
Sure. It's just a matter of remembering.
Right.
So it's,
right. Yeah. And there's so many things I wrote down to ask you. I'm so excited to have you on. Talk a little bit about the Holy Ghost. You address the Holy Ghost. In this book, and let me hold the book up again, you guys. This is what the book looks like. I want everybody to see it. I didn't make it through it all, but I will go back and read this because that's how good this is.
It's a slow read, friends. It's not a quick read,
but it's worth it. Let me tell you, it's Revelations of the Aromatic Jesus, the Hidden Teachings on Life and Death, and it is by Neil Douglas Klotz. Talk about the Holy Ghost. A lot of people.
The Holy Ghost. Ruha de Kudsha is the word in Aramaic.
Say it again.
Ruha de Kudsha. It features all over Jesus' sayings. But again, Jesus, this is pre-ideas about the Trinity in that Christian sense. Now, the Trinity can be interpreted in a very mystical sense, which different Western esotericists have done. But I want to take it back to what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about that I have a breath that is always connected. I mentioned it before. It was before my birth. It continues after my physical death. This he calls Ruha. It's actually another word for sort of the breath soul, the always on part of us, not the individual limited in this body part. So this ruha is connected. We're connecting right now, Nancy, in the moment. And then we're connecting with whoever is listening here live. I don't know if anyone's listening live or we're just recording, but anyway, but even if you're on the recording, it's live because it's now. And it's now is always now. Any moment it's now. So sorry, I start to go off on.
No, you're fine. You're fine. Go ahead.
Anyway, so this ruha is, we're connected to our community, our family, our friends. It's a bigger ruha. It's a bigger breath. And that breath is connecting then all over the planet to all the planetary beings. First in the seen world, of course, nature, all of that. And then in the unseen world, there's a connection to beings, to different beings in the unseen. And people say, ah, well, you know, beings in the unseen, that's old. But you know, this is real stuff, friends.
Right.
You know, it depends on with whom you connect, but this is for real. It was real for Jesus.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's as real as anything. You just got to choose whom you're connecting to. And then that breath is extending throughout the whole universe, this ruha. And then where does that ruha or that breath goes? Well, that goes back to the one breath. And this is what he calls ruha dekutcha. I call it sacred breath or holy breath. Because, you know, ghost sort of gives you sort of, I don't know, Ghostbusters or Casper or I don't know what. But that's okay, too. I mean, I enjoy that stuff. But, you know, this is the breath that is to which all breath is returning. The one, this is the way the ancient Semitic nomadic peoples felt it. They felt that all our breath is connected and returning to the one breath, which is being breathed in and out from reality itself. And that's the sacred breath. Now, when we come to a very problematic passage, people will bring up, what about the so-called sin against the Holy Ghost, as it's mentioned in Christian theology? Well, sin in this case, both in Aramaic and in Greek, by the way, just means to cut yourself off from something. So if you cut yourself off from your breath, from your connected breath, and from the source of your connected breath, you know, who's going to heal that? Who's going to knit that back together? You have to breathe differently. Breathe differently. Don't just breathe here within your small self. Breathe differently. Breathe deeper, bigger, however you want to put it. It can, you know, whichever way you go, it'll go there. If you have the need and you have the love and you have the gratitude, it'll do it.
Interesting. Now, you say, I like this part. Well, Thomas says, light exists in the inner part of the person of light, and that person illuminates all of the world around them. If that person does not become light, they are darkness clothed in upon themselves. That really hit home with me because I feel like right now, and I want to know your feeling on this because you've done so much research. So right now, I feel like humanity, part of us are going to the light and part of us are just within themselves. And that's what I got from that. What do you think?
Yeah, I think, you know, Yeshua is looking ahead to those, that potential of the human self, the individual human self, to enclose in on itself. And he comes to show a different way. So in this, well, about half of the book, I'm going through Jesus's inner transmission in the Gospel of John and comparing it to passages in the Gospel of Thomas. If your listeners, viewers know that, it's written about the same time. It's remembrances of Jesus' sayings written roughly about the same time as the Gospel of John is the best current research. And it says things like what you've quoted, Nancy, that we have within us this potential to turn towards the light or to turn away from the light. And it's interesting that in the Semitic languages, and when I say Semitic languages, I mean ancient Hebrew, Aramaic, and also ancient Arabic, Quranic Arabic, the Arabic that's in Quran, they construe the human self as a shadow. This is what you have in Genesis. It says the first human self was created as a shadow of the divine. We're supposed to mirror the divine and follow the light. But if we turn ourselves towards our own shadow, then we're enclosed in ourself and we can't know anything for real because, again, the darkness isn't necessarily bad. It just means we don't know what the heck's going on. We're in the darkness. We can't see, we can't know, we can't hear, we can't feel, smell, touch, taste. That's what darkness was for the ancient people. And then what you want to know, you want to turn toward the light. So what we have to feel now is that we all have the potential to do that turning, no matter what people around us say, no matter what the culture's saying, all that stuff. So that's my take on it.
No, I agree with you wholeheartedly. And I teach everybody on the show to bring in the light every day, to bring up the light on the earth.
Yep.
I bring it down and then I bring it up from Gaia.
Yep.
And you know, that is how I connect. And I just want to say, and I tell everybody this, but you know, it's always good to talk about it. It heals you, it balances you, and it changes your life.
Yeah. I mean, find a few things that work for you.
Right.
I mean, that's my advice to people. Okay. You don't need a whole bag of tricks necessarily, although as life gets more complicated, sometimes one does need other things and one needs help, like help from people like you, Nancy, or what. So, I mean, and that's good too. That's excellent, but we all have it. And it's a matter of intention, as I mentioned, and then having a few things that you can really rely on, bring that light down, you know, bring it into the heart, from the heart, feel it go to the center of the earth, feel it connect, let it spread.
I'm going to read something out of your book, if that's okay.
Sure, please.
All right, guys, this is on page 173 of his book, and it's just, you know, I'm not well-versed in the aromatic yet, but here we go. Yahshua is saying, in effect, find your own trust in and connection to this breathing life as I am doing and showing you now by speaking in the way I am doing. And then he underlines this message. Okay, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall be also in greater works than these shall he do because I go unto my Father. Now here's
that's King James Version. Yeah.
Here's what I underlined. Whoever carries the same trust I do, who connects with me with these deep roots in reality itself, they will do the same works of service that I have done.
That's my version. Yep.
That's how I feel about us, that we're connecting. And he says, indeed, they will serve love and offer themselves even more abundantly in ways ever more fitting and beautiful because my small eye, the temporary part of me, is departing, leaving only soul returning to its home, the breathing of light, of life of all. And that's what you were talking about.
That's what he's talking about. That's what I'm talking about. And, you know, I mean, Jesus never asked people to believe in him.
Right.
That's a mistranslation of a preposition in Aramaic. He said, believe like I believe, have the trust like I have, and then you'll do this stuff, you know. You know, because he's telling people, look, I'm going, you know, I'm not going to be here forever. So, you know, you got to step up.
Find your way. All right. Well, I'm going to ask.
That's not literal translation from Aramaic, Nancy, but.
I really.
Okay.
That's the translation, you guys. But I want to know, we got to get out of here in a little bit. We've been talking for quite a long time, but I want to know. Well, I could talk to you for a couple hours because you have so much information that you're providing. And thank you for writing this. And thank you for providing this information to us because it's really needed at this time. I've always felt intuitively that a lot of this translation wasn't proper. And so it's really enlightening and really refreshing to see this. What do you see for 2023 for humanity?
I see again that, you know, that there will be this slow turning, you know, towards the light, you know, different people in many different places using many different means are going to do this sort of turning toward the light that you're talking about, or I've been talking about, many people are talking about actually. And so although there will seemingly be this polarization, as we're talking about the light from the dark, there will be gradations. And there'll be people looking, people searching. And we want to keep providing resources for people to find. We don't want just people to seek, we want them to find. And so in whatever way they do find, that's going to be really good. But remember that wherever you have a polarity, there's always a field in between the two polarities. It's not like there's a wall between them. There's always this middle space, like we have between the North and the South Pole. I write about this in the book a bit. You have a magnetic field, and although it seems to be like, okay, like that or like that, but there's this middle bit, and that's where we have to place our hope and place our trust, and also ask for help from the unseen, and find a way to do that, and then connect every day. Yeah, that's my take on it.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. Connect every day. You can say divine, you can say source, you can say energy.
Whatever.
God, whatever makes you comfortable, but it is that connection because we are energetic souls and we have to connect. It's just like connecting to the internet. If we don't connect every day, we don't get the information we need to live our lives.
Well, that's very true. And then filters are good too.
Love it. What do you want to leave us with today before we get out of here?
Let's do a little bit of chanting. I did promise it. I want to chant a little bit of the first line of Jesus's prayer in Aramaic. So we're back to the so-called Lord's Prayer. And these are some of the melodies that came through, well, a little over 40 years ago that people now chant around the planet. And you can find these also at my website. Ah, yes, the book, Flash the Book. That's very nice.
His website is abwoon.org.
That'll take you there. There's a lot there. Rummage around. Mostly it's free. Okay. There's a few things I ask for a donation for, but very little.
Okay,
we're going to chant Avun Deba Shemaya. This is the first two words of the prayer. O thou, the breathing life, the parenting of all. This is, again, the way Jesus addresses the divine in his language. And this Avun is moving to and from us. It's always available. It's always there. It's around us in Shemaya. Shemaya usually translated as heaven, but not above us. It's above us and around us and underneath us. It's the realm of vibration and light. So connect first to the big. I had a teacher say, connect to the big burner first.
Yeah.
Turn on the big burner and then you can cook. So connect first to the big burner. Here we go. And let me turn on this so you get some decent sound.
Okay.
And here's a simple body prayer. So like this. Avun Deba Shemaya. 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 Avun Deva Shemaya. Avun Deva Shemaya. Avun Deva Shemaya. Avun Deva Shemaya.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much, Neil. I sang it with you.
Okay, that's good. We like that. So, anyway, it's all at the, it's all there for people. And
God bless.
It's a resource.
Thank you. I'm so excited you came on the show today. And I'm so excited.
Thanks for taking an interest, Nancy. And thanks for all the work that you do and, connecting with the angels and all that good stuff. So,
yes,
it's all good.
I appreciate it. Revelations of the Arigmatic Jesus, you guys, is the book. It's by Neil Douglas Klotz, and it's KLOTZ, and he's the author of The Prayers of the Cosmos as well. Neil, thanks for coming on. I wish you
thank you.
Merry Christmas in Scotland this year.
You too.
Okay.
Have a wee dram for me, Nancy.
Have a wee what?
Have a wee dram.
Oh, okay. All right. You guys, thank you for coming on the show again. I really appreciate it. Everybody, we wish you a very Merry Christmas and a very Happy New Year. This is Nancy Herald. This is High Road to Humanity, and we will see you next time. Everybody take care and God bless.
Please join me next time on The High Road with stories full of love and hope for our future. You can find High Road to Humanity on TogiNet Radio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and now watch The High Road on Binge TV Networks. My channel is High Road to Humanity. Have a blessed week, and know by staying on The High Road, you will make it to your destination. For a psychic empath reading, visit my website, nancyyearout.com, to book your date and time with me. I will deliver your messages from the angels, and God bless.